But, you know, Jesus was in the house in that moment. Right. Martha was kind of caught up in all the work rather than just sitting at his feet and worshiping him and listening and hearing his teaching. Mary sets herself at the feet of Jesus and is listening and just honoring his teaching. And when he exhorts Martha with that, you know, Martha, you're worried with many things. And I think it's very fitting. I've chosen the title of my message today as Unshakable. Unshakable. Martha was kind of shaken with everything that was going on, all that had to be done. And when you think about everything going on in our society, there's a whole lot of shaking going on, right? Yeah. Things are shaking all around us. It's the big question, if you will, is what in the world is going on? Anybody? Anybody been there watching the news? No, you don't watch the news? And remember, I see all your posts on Facebook and Instagram, so don't, you know. How many are you getting shook up about everything you're seeing going on? Statues coming down, monuments, if you will, all the bickering and fighting back and forth. And I want to tell you that God has called us to a greater place than that. Amen. I'm not saying we don't have civil responsibilities that we should follow through on, and I think that there are good arguments on both sides, but there's a whole lot of shaking going on in the midst of the differences and the disagreements that are taking place. Amen. And so we as believers are not meant to be shaken. We're meant to live an unshakable life. And yet I see so many being gripped by everything going on. They're being sucked into thinking the way that the world thinks, thinking the way the person next to them thinks, thinking the way the government thinks, thinking the way that, you know, Black Lives Matter thinks, or this organization or that organization, and all those different things that are going on, being consumed with that rather than being consumed with your relationship with God and the way that the Spirit would lead you in those things. Amen. Not being led by the flesh, but being led by God's Spirit so that you exhibit His character. Amen. Yes, amen. And so it's vital that we do that. So the big question, what in the world is going on around us, right? Well, I want you to know it's not something that's caught God off guard with, you know. He's not been caught by surprise with what is going on. Can I get an amen? Amen. Any of you had just a thought like, hey, God, do you know what's going on? God, do you really know what's going on right now? Absolutely. God knows what's going on. And guess what? God knew before we came to know what is going on. God knew all of this was going to happen, right? I'm not saying that God is for every single thing that is going on. Obviously, He's not. But what I would say is that He's not shocked by it. And He has an answer for it. Again, remember, in the midst of this, we can see the good in it, and we can also see the bad in it, right? But people are living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Well, that's good, but that's evil. That's good, but that's evil. And the back and forth, you know, arguments go, the disunity that takes place in the midst of, well, I'm right about this. Well, you might be right about this, but you're wrong about this. And the argument can come right back the other way. You might be right about this, but you're wrong about that. Why is that? Because every single one of us, when we're not living in Christ and we're not being led by the Spirit, are living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not the tree of life. We need to find ourselves in the tree of life. We need to find ourselves in Christ so that we're not shaken by what goes on around us. Amen. All these things, the Bible tells us, all these things are going to come to pass, and then the end will come. Now, make no mistake about it. All the things that are going on are an aspect of things aligning themselves for end times. You know, it was end times 200 years ago. It was end times 1,000 years ago. And what do I mean by that? I mean that even 2,000 years ago, if you go to it, Jesus is telling his disciples. He's telling them about the end, what it will look like. And hey, by the way, you know, they had a mindset that said, Lord, will you restore the kingdom now? They're thinking he's going to return. They're standing there when he ascended into the heavens, right? They're standing there when he ascended into the heavens and sat at the right hand of the Father. They're watching as he ascended into the clouds. And the angels appear. And say, why do you sit here staring into heaven? The same Jesus, right, will return just as you've seen him go. Just as you've seen him ascend, you're going to see him descend. He will return one day. Now, go do what you're supposed to do. Go make disciples, right? Teaching them to obey all that he's commanded us to do, right? And baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, he is in with us to the end of the age. to the end of this age. And we start to see these things happen. And by the way, not just in America, but all around the world, this upheaval that last week I spoke about, the fact that there are birth pains or there are labor pains, that the earth, if you will, is in these birth pains that's bringing forth the change. Come on, ladies that have had a baby. A lot of change went on in your body, right? And there was a point where new things were birthed. And new things will be birthed. And let me say that God won't be caught off guard by any of it whatsoever. But we should not be shaken by all the birth pains. We shouldn't be shaken by everything that's going on around us. We should be secure in the faith that we have in Christ. Amen. And that He is with us and He is guiding us through life as long. Say as long.
As long
as, long as we look to Him.
Amen.
Not to ourselves, not to people around us, but to God. And pray for the people that are around us. Pray for ourselves that we would fulfill what God has called us to do, to be unshakable. Look here at Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, His voice shook the earth. But now He makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Shaken and removed. So that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring fire. That speaks to the end times. I don't know if you know this, but in Noah's time, right? You think about Noah. Noah was a type of the Christ. He was the only one righteous in his generation. Did you know that?
Amen.
Jesus was the only one righteous, and that's why he is the ark that we got to get into. You hear what I'm saying? The flood that's coming, the moment when everything comes to a close, the Bible actually says that in the end times, in the latter days, it'll be as the days of Noah. Just like the days of Noah. People marrying and drinking and eating and doing all the things that they do in life. But all of a sudden the end will come. When that rain came, it was time to get in the ark and shut the door. There was no possibility for anybody else to get back in. Because it came and it was a flood. It was immediate. And what it's saying here in this passage, that there's a point where everything that God has created, both heaven and earth, that in that light, when at the end of the age, that the heavens, the Bible talks about it, will roll back like a scroll. Now imagine you're looking up, you see the stars and the moon, if this happened at night, and everything just like whoop, whip back, and there's God. There's Christ coming, right? That's what it's going to be like. We can't fathom that. It's hard for our natural mind to grab a hold of something like that. That everything that He's created, the heavens and the earth, that all of a sudden that's going to be stripped away, and we're standing there before the creator of all that we've partaken in. But this passage is saying this, that we now, right, are a part of that kingdom, that we are not part of the temporary creation, we're part of an eternal creation. Remember, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Isn't that right? You're translated out of darkness and into His marvelous light. From the power of Satan into the power of God. Temporary things no longer dictate, they no longer direct where you go in life. It's eternal things. And a matter of fact, it's the eternal Spirit of God living on the inside of you, guiding you where God's called you to go. And that is to have a focus on eternal things. To recognize that the temporary around us, no matter what's shaking around us, we're unshakable because we have the unshakable Spirit of God in us. Amen. Now, I would tell you that when I first came to Christ, I was shook. It shook me to my core to come face to face with the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. Shook me to my core to understand that my sin hung Him on the cross. See, it wasn't something that flesh and blood revealed, even though I might have been listening to a preacher preach. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it. I can remember my heart pounding. I can remember feeling like I'm the only person in the room. I can remember, as it says here, right, that natural, when Moses was speaking to him, a man was speaking to him, but now he speaks from heaven. By his spirit, he was speaking into my heart. And I was realizing that my sin hung Jesus on the cross. And that God so loved every single one of us. And for that day, he so loved me. That message was, it was directly to me. And I was being shaken in the night. I'm a little disturbed at what's going on inside of me. But forevermore, I would be changed because of the revelation that I had of God's Son. And to come to him, I would no longer be shaken by the things going on around me. You get what I'm saying? But unshakable, because now I have the eternal Spirit of God on the inside of me. And now I'm a part of his kingdom, that eternal kingdom that he's building. Amen. And so I want you to say this with me. Shook, awake. It wakes us up, right? I don't get shook up, I get woke up. I mean, that's kind of a common term right nowadays. A lot of this stuff that's going on, philosophies, ideas, and everything, is to be woke. Come on now. Y'all going to talk back to me today? I preach much better, and we'll get through it a lot quicker, man. You'll be able to eat. To our audience online, you can be eating right while you're watching. So, praise God. No, here's the deal, man. To be truly woke is to wake up from our spiritual slumber. To wake up from that place of being dead in trespasses and sins to being alive in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Being transformed in the righteousness of God in Christ. He's the only one righteous. Noah was the righteous one in his generation. Jesus is the righteous one to everyone that would be born again of spirit. It's because they've come to faith in Jesus Christ and his work on that cross. Amen.
Amen.
So God's shaking in my life brought an awakening. I want to talk about how to build the unshakable life. Once you've been woke up from this slumber, and you're in that place, you know, where you've been shook in the natural, but you're awake in the spiritual things, you're no longer shook by the natural. You get what I'm saying? But understand the power and authority you have in Christ. So building that unshakable life, here's how we do it. How to build your unshakable life. Psalm 62, 5 through 7 says, "My soul is quiet and waits for God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and the one who saves me. He is my strong place. I will not be shaken. For being safe and my honor rest with God. My safe place is in God, the rock of my strength." God is the rock of our strength. Now think about it this way, that where it says, "He is my rock, the one who saves me. He is my strong place. I will not be shaken." Now, I understand that when I came into Christ and I start to follow him, what happens is that he's the one that leads and guides me, right, by his spirit into all truth. So I can hear a lot of different voices. I can hear a lot of different opinions in life. But what I do with that, from the news, from the media, from my friends, from my family, all the different voices that are coming in and telling me what I ought to be thinking, what I ought to be doing, I want to take back to the Word of God and say, where's this at in the Word? How does this line up with what God is saying to me? And not only what he's saying to me through his Word, but when I quiet myself and I put myself in that place of prayer. Now, last week I talked about Habakkuk and how he set himself on the rampart. He was going to watch and he was going to wait and listen to hear what God would say to him when he did what? When he spoke to him. That voice from heaven that this first verse or chapter where we talked about in Hebrews, that voice from heaven, here's Moses' an earthly voice. Here's my earthly voice. But the question is the moment that the heavenly voice speaks to your heart, what is he saying to you? Habakkuk said, "And I'll wait to hear what he says to me when he corrects me." I know that my life has a tendency to go my own way, my own thoughts. But God's thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. Amen?
Amen.
And so I need to put myself before his word and call upon his spirit to quicken, to speak from heaven into my heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. What is God's proceeding word in your life? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to you for your life? I can promise you that it's never going to look like this group of the world or that group of the world or that group of the world. Did you know that when you think of culture, right, you're part of this cultural group or part of that cultural group. Do you know that the Bible says that it teaches us that we're not meant to be a part of the culture, but a counterculture, the way that we live? That we live in those places in Christ that do not sit in judgment. No matter what people's opinions may be, we sit in a place of intercession, not judgment. We like Christ when he hung on that cross. You understand, he hung on the cross and he had a thief on the left and a thief on the right. And that thief on the left, you know, versus the thief on the right, they have a different opinion about Jesus. They have a different opinion about life. Thief, you know, the one thief says to him, he says, if you're the Son of God, then get us off these crosses. Get us out of here. Get me out of what's going wrong in life. The other one's, remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. They're two different perspectives of how you approach Christ. I want to approach Christ with the perspective that honors him, that holds him high and says, help me to align myself with you. Lead me and guide me in your ways of truth. Amen? Because when I'm being led by Christ, what happens is I'm not being influenced by the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. Then when we renew our mind in the Word of God, all of a sudden we start to be able to hear when God is speaking to us. Amen. And I alluded to a couple weeks ago about if you don't know the language, how in the world can you communicate? If I don't know God's language, if I don't know His Word, then it's hard for me to hear when He's actually speaking by revelation. Amen? So I want to give you three ways that you can build the unshakable life. Three ways to build the unshakable life. These are three things to ponder as you establish that unshakable life in Christ. Not to be moved by everything going on around you, but be led by the Spirit internally. One, I can't assume, I must appreciate. I can't assume upon God, I must appreciate God. I cannot assume that God is just going to do what I want. I got to appreciate him and honor him and worship him and pray to him and let him guide me. Amen. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you have accomplished something on your own? Amen. I just want to say there's a major attitude out there that basically looks to oneself or if you will, even in our nation, when you think about, no, I have the right ideas. And the argument goes back and forth in the unity, the ability to interact, it's just gone. The ability to communicate is gone. And so what it turns into is fighting and anger and hate and division and strife. And I got to tell you that out of everything being said, you know, people may have this opinion about this or that opinion about that, but you know what people are really fed up and tired with? The hate and the strife and the division that's going on. It wearies people, right? It shakes them up. And I want to tell you that we're meant to stay strong in the midst of that. It's not looking to the left nor to the right, but keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Yeah. Let the author and the finisher continue to work on your faith and have faith and speak into the situations going on around you. Speak life into them, whether a person's on the left or the right. How can you draw them all into life? All we can do is give the invitation and ask the Holy Spirit to come and breathe upon the gospel being spoken to their life, right? And we have the hope that they too might be saved, that they too might see and come to the Lord. Amen. And so pray, bullet right there, be grateful to God. Be grateful to God. I know that's so profound, right? You never heard that before in your life, to be grateful to God. But I want to tell you, thanksgiving, absolutely. You come to the Lord with thanksgiving in your heart. Be grateful. I'm sure there's a lot of things you still need to happen in your life. There's miracles that you need in your marriage, miracles that you may need in your children's lives. Maybe it's natural needs that you have of a home or a job or those things that are going on. But the reality is I want you to know that approaching God with ingratitude is not a way for God to move in your life. Approach God with gratitude. Be thankful for what he has done in your life and watch how it increases as a result of approaching him as he is and knowing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing that we need to have to build an unshakable life is I can't just be self-sufficient. I need to be God-dependent. I need to be God-dependent. Now, any of you that have children aren't thinking when they're born and they're little babies that they'll be completely dependent on you for the rest of their life, right? Yeah, you know, while that's there, we understand also that we're there for our children. Whatever the need may be, wherever they're at in life, we're still there, and we want to help our kids, you know, through life. But we do have a hope that they will have some self-efficiency, right? Some self, you know, ability to take care of themselves. And where that falls short, if you will, we're there to bridge the gap. Isn't that correct? Parents, can I get an amen?
Amen.
We love our kids, and we want to help them, to go through life. But in that, we don't want to just be self-sufficient no matter how developed we are or how much we are capable of doing. We don't want that self-sufficiency to the place that we deny God. Come on now. To depend on God is not, have no self-sufficiency. It's to acknowledge that everything that we have and all that we're capable of doing is as a result of God working in our life in the first place. He created us. And we approach him that way, what happens is it's us working, but God working with us. Us working with God, God working with us. An element of us doing something for ourselves, but yet God being in the midst of that, helping that to multiply. Amen?
Amen.
And you think about, if you sow, you shall what? Who causes the increase in your life? The Bible teaches us that God causes the increase. We sow, right? And we reap, but God's the one working the miracle in the midst of all of it. Isn't that right? So we have some actions that we do, self-sufficiency, but man, we never want to be in a place where we have no dependence on God. I want to have dependence on God being present in my life. Amen? Get a drink of water. I'm getting raspy. And so we're going to look at the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel chapter 4, and then, you know, it kind of breaks down. We're going to just look at the highlights of that and how Nebuchadnezzar saw his life, and God didn't see it the way Nebuchadnezzar saw it, just so you know. Daniel 4:4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Now, that was true. But look how Nebuchadnezzar, how he sees it. Daniel 4:30-32, he said, is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence? My mighty power and for my glory, for the glory of my majesty. Even as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign. The Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
All kingdoms. Every nation, right? God is sovereign over them all. Now, there's self-sufficiency, there's things that we do and we build, but the moment that we move to a place of you know, cutting God out, say ego. Edging God out, E-G-O, edging God out, having ego enough to say, God, you have nothing to do with it. I've done everything in my life for myself. You had nothing to do with this. Make no mistake about it. Just because we say God's not involved or God has no authority or he's not sovereign over it, it doesn't mean that he's not. It doesn't all of a sudden establish for all eternity and throughout the heavens, right, that God is not over everything. Now think about America for a moment here, in light of it being the 4th of July, you know, yesterday. I hope you had a great Independence Sunday. But think about that for a moment. When we abort millions of children, when we see, you know, they want the Ten Commandments taken out of it, of courtrooms, when man starts to elevate himself, that man is authority over man. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous day in any country. Amen. When any man or woman starts to think themselves as being the almighty, as the one that people ought to worship or come under, to the point of not having anyone to answer to. It's the whole purpose of when our founding fathers established our country. And by the way, last service I talked about the fact, you know, that there were Christians and non-Christians that wrote the Constitution, that were involved in our nation's beginnings, that there were non-Christians in that group of people, right? Do you realize that? And in that, though, they were able to come to a place of unity. The beauty of it is that the Word of God and the guidance of God had so much to do with the initial foundation of it, that they were able to come to a place of a unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the establishment of our country.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that people live those things out perfectly, but I want to submit this to you. We wonder why things are so shaken all around us. We wonder why there's such upheaval going on all around us. The reason why is because the further that mankind gets away from seeing that God is sovereign over every nation on the face of this planet, the further we get away from God being sovereign over America and there being a submission in leaders that there is a God, they may not follow him necessarily, but there are many who do. But for those that choose not to follow God, still acknowledge that there is one and that he's sovereign over every nation. But the moment that starts to be torn down in every corner of our nation, what happens is we have a country that's turning from God. And as our country turns from God, we wonder, you know, why are all these things gone? Everything that can be shaken, the Bible says, will be shaken. And you know what's going to remain, as we read in that passage of Scripture out of Hebrews? The things of the kingdom is all that's going to remain. In the mindset of people, it's like, oh no, just like Satan, Lucifer in Isaiah, it gives us a story of where he says, I will ascend on high above the most high. We just read in here, that's the same attitude Nebuchadnezzar had. I'm the most high, right? And he gets a word from the most high, and the most high says, basically, I'm sovereign over everything, every nation on the planet. Satan and Lucifer in heaven says, I'm going to ascend above the most high. And what happens? The most high says, no, actually what will happen is you'll be brought down to the sides of the pit. And he is cast out of heaven. Y'all know that story? Give me an amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And our hearts should never get to a place that our self-sufficiency, what we have been able to do, elevates us to a place that we have no dependence on God. Because the moment that we see it that way, we no longer worship God for who he is. And when we stop worshiping God for who he is, don't be shocked that he stops doing what he can do. And we're only left with what we can do. Come on now. Are you all with me this morning?
Amen.
Is that too serious? When we stop worshiping God for who he is, he stops doing what only he can do. Not that he doesn't want to do it, but because we don't honor him and we remove ourselves out from under him, there's only one place for the flow of blessing to come down, and that's to be under him. That's why the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Jesus Christ is what? Savior? Lord. Lord. He's over. I'm under. I don't have a problem submitting my ideas, my thoughts, my ways. God, is this honor you? Is what I'm doing honoring you? Our leaders in our nation ought to have an attitude, God, is what I'm doing honoring you? And I'll say this as a whole. Most of our leaders don't display a lot of humility, and I'll take that across the board. I'd love to see a whole lot more humility, a whole lot more patience, a whole lot more concern in the way we communicate. But sometimes people become so divided and so offended that, you know what? As the Bible says, that it's harder to win a fortified city than a brother offended. And there's so much offense going on in our land that what happens is what's it going to take? I believe it's going to take a move of God. I don't know that they can get this all turned around and bring people back to a place of unity. I think it's going to take prayer. I think the church has got to stand in a place of intercession and call people back to a place of unity. That by a sovereign move, he's still sovereign, and we are the ones to call the sovereign God to act in the midst of our society. Amen? We got to take our responsibility as believers seriously. Watch this, Daniel 4 and 34, because this is what I hope to see in our nation. Daniel 4, 34 says, "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity," here we go, "my sanity was restored." Anybody want to see sanity restored in our society? Because it's pretty crazy right now. "Then I praised," who's the Most High? "I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation." Can you see that? At the moment that Nebuchadnezzar comes to the realization that he's human, man, there's nothing internal with him unless the eternal God gives him an eternal place. That's what God's given us, is an eternal place through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this. It's not one day we'll take our eternal place. I tell you, now's the time to take your eternal place. Take your eternal place of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be that intercessor. Stand in the gap. Have an attitude like our Savior had that says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen. When we begin to pray for people that way and mean it from our heart, we might just see the sovereign God move the way Nebuchadnezzar did and start to change the insanity to sanity again. And when I say sanity, I mean a sanity that recognizes God. And while there's some self-reliance there, it does not function without a dependence on God being present. Amen? Amen. And so there, I want to just tell you this. Be dedicated to God. Be dedicated to God. Don't see yourself doing it alone. Be dedicated to God. And number three, if you want to build the unshakable life, I can't just go through life. I need to grow through life. And none of us in this room arrive. There's nobody watching online right now that's arrived in their life. Every single one of us are on a journey. We're figuring things out. I just want to ask all the husbands in here, hey, have you figured marriage out? Amen. Y'all, come on now. Help me out. Have you figured marriage out? You guys are like, absolutely. My wife's sitting next to me. Wives, have you figured marriage out? You have times you're still like, man, I don't get this. Why is this? And you have to work on it. You have to come together in communication and unity to be able to see your next best step, your next best day in your marriage, right? How about parenting? How many of y'all got parenting figured out? Little kids, adult kids. Does it matter, parents? Give me an amen if you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter, right? You'll never be out of that, you know, if you will, that heart to see your children live their life and experience God and do what he's called them to do. And here's the thing, is that you got to stay in that gap. You got to stay in that place of intercession for your family too. Amen? And so you can't just go through life. You got to grow through life. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16 says this, "No prolonged infancies among us." Please, no prolonged infancies. I don't know if you've ever heard of this real quick, but have you heard that they talk about that nowadays that where kids would grow up and at 18 they're kind of in adulthood and they go off and they get their jobs or their careers or whatever, college and all of that. They say now it takes to between 27 and 30 years old before they're at a place in their life that they were 18 to 22 years old, about 20 years ago. And the reason why that is because the way that time has gone and saying to people, you know, you need us, and you need the government, and you need other people to do it for you. No, they need to learn how to do some things on their own. while learning also to trust in God. And we got to help them grow up in the things of God. Amen.
Amen.
And so I know that's hard, and that's not a down on this generation. That's just to say the way that things have transpired, it's set things up to where we, they're not old enough to make those decisions, and they're not old enough, and they're not old enough yet. And the more we say they're not old enough, understand Jesus at 12 years old. You know, 12 years old was a rite of passage into adulthood, if you will, adolescence, but they were becoming adults. He had to quote the Torah, the first six books of the Bible. You want to know something? He knew something about how to love God and how to love others as a result of that. And we remove the responsibility, and we carry that responsibility, and all of us want our kids to have a better life than we had. Come on, parents.
Right.
We all want that for our kids, and I think it's right. But sometimes we remove some of the challenges and the difficulties from them, and they just don't grow up the way that they need to grow up. But this is saying no prolonged adolescence, no infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. Think there for a second. Would our society accept the statement from you to say that Christ is the source of everything we do? How far would you say our society has fallen from following God? If you were to think about that statement, you went into schools, you went into your workplace, any place you went, and you said that Christ is the source for everything you do, how accepting would our society be of that statement? I submit to you, I don't think very accepting. And I believe it's because we've gotten away from telling the truth. We need to speak the truth in our society so that people can be impacted not by our power, but by God's power. He moves upon the word. He speaks to the hearts of people by His Spirit as a result of the word being proclaimed. And I think all too often we've watered the gospel down. There is no other way. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to eternal life except through Jesus Christ. And that is an intolerable statement in our day and age. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
People don't tolerate that kind of communication. Why? Because they think there's many ways. And there is not. There is not. Now think of Billy Graham. People see his messages, the little clips of his messages, and man, you're talking about a guy who preached it the way it was. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And man, did he preach it with fire, and you know, people will share that over and over and over again. But you let yourselves be in relationships with people. Churches today proclaim a gospel that says you cannot get to heaven, you cannot get to God any other way but through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you'll start seeing all the negative, and it's like, how dare you? That's intolerant, and so on and so forth. I want to say it's the most tolerant thing you'll ever hear.
Amen.
Because Jesus died on the cross. Intolerance, watch this. Intolerance, that while we were yet still sinners, talking about tolerating something. He tolerated us because He loved us. And He died on that cross because He wasn't going to stop at tolerance. He was going to make sure there was deliverance, that there was freedom for us. Amen. And I thank Him for the freedom that He gives through His sacrifice. Go on. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And I want to say healthy in God always leads to robust in love, meaning that all these things going on around us that's shaking everybody else, well, how can you be loving in the midst of that? Because these people are doing this, or those people did that. Yeah, but you know what? All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There's none good among us, no, not one. Only Christ. He's our Noah. He's the only one that's righteous, and He makes a way for us to come into that ark and exchanges, right? Come on. Gives us His righteousness for our unrighteousness. That's what He did on the cross. So I just encourage us to embrace that today and grow up. Grow up in life. Don't just grow through life. Go through life. Grow up through life. Amen. Be, here it is, be who God created you to be. Be who God created you to be. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Live that way. Learn that way. Grow in that way so that you respond differently than everybody else. When all hell's breaking loose, everything around you's all shaken up, you're not shaken. None of these things move me, Paul the Apostle said. Not height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing above, nor things below. None of it moves me. Now, I get that we might have a moment, but then it be reminded of who you are in Christ and stand firm and know that God's power is there to work in you and you can see those things. Remember Jesus when the disciples, they were in the boat and the waves are crashing, the storm's surging, and the disciples are freaking out. We're going to drown. We're going to die. And I mean, there's a lot of people out, oh, we're going to die. Everything's, the economy's going to crash and this is going to, and that's wrong. Is freaking out, shaken. Everything's being shaken. Disciples were being shaken, and Jesus is, he's down there snoring in the bow of the boat. And they go, Jesus, don't you know we're going to perish? We're going to die, this storm. Yeah. Oh, you have little faith. Why are you so shaken up? And Jesus looks at the storm and says, peace, be still. Now, this is what I want to say to you. We, like the disciples, get shaken up sometimes. But when we look to Christ, we are unshakable. He is our confidence. Not we ourselves, but Christ is our confidence. And call him into your situations and let everybody else see why you are unshaken when everything around you is being shaken at its very core. Amen. I close with this final scripture, Psalm 55 and verse 22. And it says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Never let the righteous be shaken. I'm going to pray with you today. Would you stand with me? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins?
Amen.
Then you understand that that's the moment where he translated you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He gave you his righteousness. And the Bible declared right there that the righteous would never be shaken. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody in this room today, everyone watching online. God, let your presence, God, let your peace, Father, reign in our lives. God, may we have a calm in the midst of the storm while everything else around us, Father, people are disturbed and, Father, they're falling apart. And God, I pray that we'd have the answer for them, that God, they would begin to see that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. And Lord, that we would live that, that Father, we wouldn't be shaken by those things. We would be unshaken because we have the living Savior on the inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, Father, upon our lives, that we're living our life out. And we're just different, Father God, than everybody else that's around us. Not better than them, just different than them. Father, that we're in a place where we know that we have a confidence in you, and that God, you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us, Lord God, that you'll always be with us because we're following Christ and his righteousness, Lord, leaves us in an unshaken state. We pray those things, Father. We honor you. We praise you in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Hey, God bless you. Let's sing the song as we go.